Okay, let's. I actually realized I just skipped something. Forgive me for being a little disorganized here, but you guys are probably used to it by now. Matthew 5:33. I forgot this little part here on the swearing and taking oaths. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not swear falsely, but you shall carry out your oaths to Adonai." That's not a direct quote of anything in the Torah, but it is in the Torah this sentiment that it's that if you swear, just make sure you do it, right? In fact, I think that was in last week's Torah portion. I tell you, do not swear at all. Not by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. Okay, let's look at a couple verses here. Any comments or questions on this before we dive in? Okay. Let's look at a couple verses here to raise and then maybe answer some questions. Actually, first, let's go with James chapter 5, verse 12. Okay. James was a brother of Yeshua. And says here in verse 5:12, "But above all, my dear brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by the earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment." Okay? Now, let's look at some other things here, some of Paul's writings. 2 Corinthians 1:23. "But I call God as my witness to spare you, I didn't come to Corinth again." Galatians 1:20. I'm just going to hit a few verses here. If you don't want to look them up, that's fine. Because I'm not looking at large sections here, just one sentence, little segments. Galatians 1:20. "In what I'm writing you before God, I do not lie." Okay. Philippians 1:8, "For God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Messiah Yeshua." 1 Thessalonians 2:5, "For as you know, and God is witness, we never came with a word of flattery or a motive of greed." Okay, Paul basically is doing what aligns with an oath. Before God, I tell you, I'm not lying. With God as my witness, you know, he's calling on the Lord to be a witness. This is not simply a yes, yes, or a no, no. And so we have to look at this section here to find out what's really going on here, so that we understand why Paul is not going against Scripture here. And also in Hebrews 6:16, I'm not going to look it up right now, but it's got a similar thing there. Okay, so let's look back at the Torah first and see what the Torah tells us. Numbers 30, verse 2. Okay, and this is how last week's Torah portion started out, from Matot. "Whenever a man makes a vow to Adonai or swears an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he is not to violate his word, but do everything coming out of his mouth." Okay, the Torah tells us that we can make a vow. We just need to make sure we do it. Why is Yeshua saying, don't make these vows? I think it becomes clear what's going on here when we look at what's going on a little later in Rabbinic Judaism. Now, In Rabbinic Judaism, we have, aside from the Tanakh, okay, what Christians call the Old Testament, do you know what the name is for the major body of rabbinic writings? It starts with a T.
Tanakh. No, wait a minute.
You know it, but it's not coming to you. What? The Talmud. Very good. Right. There's actually two Talmuds, okay? What? You don't know that, but you gave me the right answer anyway.
It was a suck up.
Well, I was impressed until about 10 seconds ago when you said you didn't know that. All right. So there are actually two Talmuds. There's the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud. When people say the Talmud, they almost always mean the Babylonian Talmud, because that's the bigger one, that's the more authoritative one. Babylonian scholarship, actually, after the Common Era, was considered more... Well, I don't know. Anyway, for whatever reason, the Babylonian Talmud is considered the more authoritative one. And both the Jerusalem and the Babylonian Talmud are made up from the same seed document, okay, the Mishnah, okay? The Mishnah is the same in both, and then you have the commentary on the Mishnah called the Gemara, and that together makes the Jerusalem Talmud or the Babylonian Talmud, okay? And even though, let's see, the Mishnah was compiled around the year 200, okay, so we're talking quite a few years after Yeshua, okay, and the rest of the Babylonian Talmud was completed around the year 500. However, it compiles sayings that probably very often, not always, but very often, go back to the time of Yeshua. So it does have some help for us in understanding some of what's going on in Pharisaic thought and things like that. Okay, so there is within the Mishnah an entire tractate, an entire section on oaths, 8 complicated chapters on oaths, on vows, and I tried to read through it, and it's very convoluted, and it's difficult to follow. Various types of oaths, what kind of oaths could be atoned for with sacrifices if they were broken, the wording of an oath, if an oath is repeated, does it create added liability, how to witness an oath, does it apply, can a man or men and women witness oaths, just men can, by the way, and so it becomes very convoluted and complicated, here we go. In addition, in a different part of the Mishnah, Nedarim 1:3, it says this. If one says to his fellow, not chulin, which is non-sanctified food, shall I eat of yours, or not kosher, or not permitted, or pure, or impure, or notar, or pugol, which is disqualified sacrifices, the food is forbidden. If one says to one's fellow, like a lamb, or like enclosures, or like wood, or like fires, or like the altars, or like the sanctuary, or like Jerusalem, or if one made a vow on any of the instruments of the altar, even though there was no mention of sacrifice, behold, it is as if he has vowed and forbidden the object, like a korban. Rabbi Yehuda says, if he only said Jerusalem, it is as if he said nothing. Okay? Now, that's probably very hard for us to follow because we haven't really studied the Talmud or Talmudic writing or anything like that. But the important thing is, you see, they're saying all these wordings means that you're obligated to your vow, but then on the end, Rabbi Yehuda adds on, but if he only said Jerusalem, if he only vowed on Jerusalem, it's as if he had said nothing, right? It's as if there's no vow there, okay? Let's take a look at Matthew 19, verse 3 and following. Okay, this is not what I, this is not what I meant to, looked at my the wrong thing. Matthew 23, sorry. Matthew 23, verse 16 through 22. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated. O fools and blind ones, which is greater, the gold or the temple that made the gold holy? And you say, whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. O blind ones, which is greater, the offering or the altar that makes the offering holy? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears by both by the altar and everything on it, and whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells in it, and whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Okay, and we'll actually stop there. Okay, so what's going on here is vows have become a convoluted way sometimes of looking for a loophole or a way out of what you may have said or didn't say. The focus is no longer on honesty or dishonesty. The focus now is on how did you say it? Did you say it right? What exactly did you make your vow on? Where were you standing when you made the vow? Things like this. And Yeshua wants to cut through all this convoluted stuff and say, just forget the vows and just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Okay? So when Paul says something like, with God as my witness, I don't feel like he is contradicting what Yeshua is saying here. Don't make a vow. Don't swear false. Don't swear. But he is. But Paul is maintaining that heart of the issue there, which is what the Torah is really going for, which is be honest. Okay. Let's just be honest. Plus, you know, having to do all this extra stuff. Why are you having to do it? Is it because people don't trust your words anyway? You know, well, you lied to me yesterday, but I guess today, because you're swearing an oath, I need to, I can take you seriously. Just be honest, okay? And so Yeshua is continually getting at the heart of the issue. Certain things may change, okay? You go from being able to have vows, okay, to Yeshua saying, don't do the vows, just see, let your yes be yes and your no be no. A simple formula like what Paul did, perhaps that's okay, but don't do all this stuff. If I'm lying, then may such and such or whatever complicated thing. Forget all that. Just get to the issue of what the Torah originally was intended to bring out, which is honesty. And this, of course, brings us right back to the beginning of Matthew 5:17, the beginning of this section. Do not think that I came to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Okay? And what is, when he's bringing out the fullness of the Torah, is it about all this stuff from the Mishnah about how to vow and how not to vow? Is that the hard intent of the Torah? Or is Yeshua getting at the hard intent of the Torah, which is be honest. Let your yes be a yes, let your no be a no, and let's stop with all this foolish legalese and loopholes and things like that. Questions or comments on that?
That in today's perspective today about politics.
Yes. Yeah, very good. So what was that quote by Bill Clinton? Depends on what your definition of is.
I didn't inhale.
Right. So
I didn't have sexual relations with that one.
yeah. And so we don't know which woman he's really talking about. Who knows? S- All right, so hopefully he wasn't talking about Hillary. So I'm going to have to...
It's all right, Josh, we could have a little plug.
Okay, so anyway, we will perhaps...
Say that if it weren't just us here.
Well, I'm thinking about the recording. Maybe I need to go back.
That's right, we're going to be taped.